Hello, welcome back to another episode of All Bases Covered,
the podcast helping you navigate the beauty industry and cut through the bullshit. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
It's T-minus 1 week until our gift spectacular begins. The pain of the gift spectacular has already begun.
I forcibly booked a studio for us to shoot stuff in this weekend. So you'll probably see the images.
Already, maybe. You might have seen the behind the scenes reel.
Yes, yeah, fun. And I'm really looking forward to it, but also it's going to be a long, busy day.
Lisa's got 3 makeup appointments. She's a makeup artist for 3 people. All over Melbourne, followed by a 4-hour shoot, followed by pack up, I imagine, and like the general mania that ensues. You're going to be a shell of a human by Sunday.
Yeah, when I have an 8-hour work day. Hey, nah, it's fine. It'll be fun.
Spirit of Christmas.
Exactly. I'm not going.
I'm going to play Mariah Carey all day.
Yep.
That'll keep you in the mood.
I think it will. It still does get me.
Yeah, really it gets does. Me too.
Yeah. Bit of Buble.
All right. I'll Christmas jingle it up.
Okay, great.
How was your week?
My week was great.
Yeah?
I can't remember anything that's happened other than got a new foster dog, got rid of the old foster dog. Biddy has been taken home by a soldier.
Oh, wow. Next
She's
stage.
She's got to do a quarantine because they get an extra vaccination.
And dogs just, do?
Yeah. Oh. So army dogs go to like a C7, which I assume is like 7 strains, and normal dogs to a C5, which I assume is against like 5 strains of things.
Oh, okay.
You know, whooping cough, kennel cough, all of that. Yeah. Anyway, so normally they have to isolate in the army barracks, but a soldier took her home.
Because she's that sweet?
I don't know. I think he was like, oh, I've got a couple of days off. She was like, okay, I'll come.
That's very cute. Who's keeping you updated?
Some army man is telling someone who's telling me.
It's like Chinese whispers.
But yeah.
With
it's dogs. A bloody nightmare. Yeah. So that was positive. And I've been slowly spiraling about how busy this weekend and like the whole rest of the year, and then realizing that like I don't have any time off until I'm getting married and all of that. Also, probably large contributor is I've stopped eating chocolate this week.
Oh, yeah.
Don't You Worry doesn't include chocolate-dipped things, chocolate-flavoured things, chocolate ice cream.
Just blocks of chocolate.
Just blocks of chocolate. But even that is like a huge habit breaker, truly. It's been rough.
How are you going?
I'm actually okay. I'm just eating biscuits instead. We'll talk about the biscuits later.
Great.
But I haven't kicked the 4 p.m. or like the lunch dessert, but I have sort of kicked the dinner dessert, which is weird. Normally you'd think that would be the harder one.
I find, and this is not scientifically proven, but for me at least, moving into the warmer months, I crave less a dinner dessert than I do in a winter month.
Yeah, agree. And if I was to, it would be sort of more of an ice cream situation.
Yeah.
I think I also just eat such large dinners that it's like I don't have to eat something sweet, whereas my lunch is normally more of a moderate portion.
Normally.
Sometimes. Anyway, how's your week?
Not too bad. We got a painter in. Yeah. I'm not going to pretend that I paid for it. I didn't. Mum and Dad saw the mental anguish that was being caused by Adrian and I painting, and they said, please let us help. And we said, no, please don't help because we've already spent too much money on the house.
Yeah.
We'll pay for a painter when we buy a new house, if we buy a new house one day.
Yeah.
And Dad was like,
they did what I did with the studio. Shut up, Alex. Yeah. I want this.
Like, a lot of people are doing that to me at the moment. And like, while it's really lovely, it also causes me a lot of anxiety.
Because you have no onus of control over your own life.
Yeah, I have no control over my own life. I can't gift back anything except praise and appreciation. And so I'm just like stuck being like, things are being thrown at me. It's very generous and kind and loving.
God,
what an exhausting time. House is being painted. It's great. And it'll be probably almost finished by the time you hear this episode, which is very exciting. The green in the kitchen looks even better than it did before. It's popping.
You need to sell the house like next week.
I know. And people keep messaging me, telling me that real estate agents being like, things are simmering down. So now is a very good time. You've got to get in before Christmas. But the thought of, as you've just mentioned, the non-stop, like the run-up from the renovation into the painting into the never resting, into the getting the selling, marketing photos, into buying. Selling, buying. It's Christmas.
Isn't it really scary? I've never sold a house.
I've never sold a house, and it's terrifying.
Even, like, have your parents sold a house?
No.
Have you lived in the Baldwin house until you moved forever?
Well, we lived in Bourne before Northbourne, but I was, like, 4 when we moved.
Okay, yeah. I was, I think, like, 6 weeks old when we moved into my house that I moved out of a few years ago. So, which is around the corner. Real big changes here. So, what if the house that you want isn't on the market at the time, but you physically have to buy a house?
Yeah, I know.
And in my head, like, because I'm not going to say a pessimist, a realist, I'd be like, oh, yeah, my home, I love my home. But we did buy it because it was the only one we could get at the time. Like, I would have preferred, you know, something that better. House I saw in Donvale 6 months before that Brenton wouldn't let me go to the open for inspection for.
I am you, and I will feel the same way. So that's another reason why I'm very hesitant to sell before Christmas, because if we sell before Christmas, the market doesn't really back until the end of Jan, which means then that's 4 weeks or roughly 30 days of my hopefully 120-day settlement if someone is being generous and will let me live in my house for longer. Yeah, I know. It's a whole disaster. And then I have to find...
Just move in here. We can have a level each. We'll kill it. No, we won't kill each other.
It'll be fine. The dogs will kill each other, though.
Yes. Yes.
I just think my stress is 120-day settlement on my house. Fine. No worries. That's okay. Some people will do that. The issue is then the house we have to buy only has to have like a 30 or 60-day settlement. Like the timelines.
Yeah, no, you have to like move in with your parents for like 30 days. It never fucking works, does it? No. It never works. Like what do people do? Oh, you Airbnb. You move to Mornington, you spoil brat. You've got options.
I know, but then I have to put all my things in storage and then take them all out of storage. That's moving twice still.
Yuck. Well, you can put all of your things in my house.
That's still moving twice.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay for storage.
Unless every Thursday that I come back here to record the podcast, I take another one. It's so expensive. It costs so much to sell a house.
Does it?
1.75% is like the going rate, I think, at the moment.
I always think that you take like the whole thing. Like I'm like, oh my God, if I sell my house for such and such, I can buy this house for that and it will be exactly even. Of course.
So you lose 1.75% and then sometimes they go, oops, plus GST. Plus, it costs you $5,000 in marketing, give or take, whatever it costs. You have to have someone to draw up your floor plan, someone to take your photos, someone to list it online, blah, 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 write the description.
I could do that.
I know, that's what I'm like, can I take the photos, write the description, and I'll list it online myself, just give me the logins.
Yes. In the green belt of Wantirna South, close to such and such park, da, 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 da. Just moments from Westfield Knox.
A delightful, modern, two-story build with an abundant lush lawn and veggie patch.
An entertainer's delight featuring butler's pantry and alfresco living.
Two master suites, one on the upper and one on the lower floor.
Ideal for multi-generational living. That's what they do. Anyway, there is two really dorky real estate agents near me. I pray to dog that one day I'm walking Watson and I see them filming it, because they'll often be like on the swings at the local park, like, hi Matt, hi Mark, what are you doing? I'm just at the best park ever, just moments away from this house, come along. And they go through and I'm like, what am I watching? But sometimes realestate.com makes it autoplay.
They do.
I'll have my headphones in or something and I'll be scrolling through and I'm like, oh, it's them again.
Realestate.com.au tricks you with the autoplay on, and only on some of them, not on all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm always like, I don't want to watch.
No.
It's too many. Adrian always picks them apart. They always pan slowly on, like, the corners of windows and, like, things that it's like, why are you showing me this feature?
Or, like, a vase style that I'm like, does this come with the house?
It's not also staying.
The real estate videos are exact reason why I hate wedding videos, in that most of the time it is literally slow-moving still images.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not a video. It's just a PowerPoint. Like, I need, like, I want you walking.
We're panning left to right. Yes! On a photo. Yeah.
Useless. Anyway, enough about real estate. Imagine if we had a real estate agent listener. That would make my life.
I can't tell you how many real estate people in my life have come out of the woodworks to be like, hello, it appears that you're about to sell your house. And I'm like, hello, males of my past. I'm not going to get you to sell my house.
Also, no offense, because I do have a real estate agent friend, but male real estate agents, they're such a type, aren't they? They're such, you know, well-educated, suit-wearing, extroverted slime ball.
Yes, and the one that we're getting looks hilariously similar to my best friend's fiance. And I said, does he not look like Selling Sunset Ed? And she like cacked up laughing and was like, yes, that is exactly what he looks like. Which reminds me, Selling Sunset season 4 is starting this week.
Oh, yes. I think I want to wait so that I can watch multiple episodes, or is it all released at once?
I couldn't tell you the answer.
Okay.
Hasn't happened yet. On that note, shall we move into beauty news?
Let's.
That's the tea on that.
Okay, the first piece of beauty news this week. I know we vowed we'd probably never talk about Jeffree Star again after Dramageddon. Well, oh no, and then the time that he had a car accident. Well, he's back this week because we couldn't miss the fact.
Miss? Ominous tones.
I'm trying to find a way to include more of them. He's bought a yak farm. It's called Star Yak Ranch. Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Vomit. He bought it for $1.1 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so cheap.
Wyoming, which like is obviously in the middle of nowhere. It's where he grew up, I believe.
Oh my God.
With a herd of yaks.
And it's not even close to the glorious leafy pocket of Montana Sound.
I know. And he has trademarked the Star Yak Yak. Star Yak Ranch.
I saw the brain combust. Yes.
Try say.
Star Yak Ranch.
Wow. It's really getting stuck in my throat. So, yes, he's trademarked Star Yak Ranch for categories like yarn, pet food, and butchering services.
I would just like to know what cows produce yarn.
Yaks produce yarn.
Oh, they do. Because yaks are woolly?
Yes. So they are from the they're Tibetan yaks.
Are they like the ones that everyone has those stereotypical prints of in their house? Or are they the mountain cows?
They are Highland cattle.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Not Highland cattle, some plural. Highland cattle.
Wait. Okay, so yaks don't moo? Was all of that off?
I think they do moo. I think that they're oxes. They're oxen. Ox.
And is yak... Oh, God. This is like me being an idiot. Are yaks like the female or the male version? Like, why is a yak an ox? Or is it... Is...
They're ox-like. They're a yak. They're different to an ox.
Oh, well, you threw me off there. And isn't an ox a cow?
I think they're just all of, like, mooing, four-legged, horny varieties.
Okay.
I can't give you the...
Okay.
You know.
The genus and phylum. Mm-mm. That's fine. I'll accept that.
So, but they're from the Himalayas.
Okay.
Apparently they can be farmed for a variety of purposes, including yak fur and edible items like yak meat.
Okay.
Apparently, yeah. According to Star, he's trademarked the business for those things to protect the business from other people trademarking those things. Anyway, he's been filming it. We can all stay tuned.
Okay. Very interesting. In a shorter, more concise part of beauty news, Katie Jane Hughes has released a brush drying towel with part of her line with Spectrum.
Is it microfiber? Is my first question.
Yes. But I have her microfiber towel that she has that came with the set, and it's quite clever because it's designed to be used like a makeup eraser or whatever, so you take your brushes off on it, and it obviously does absorb a lot of moisture. And so when you're trying to dry your brushes quickly, basically it's very like smart. The same kind of chamois, but it has little elastic loops. It must cost 20 cents to make. And you put all of your brushes in so they're all drying vertically right along each other, they're not overlapping, and then that absorbs all of the extra moisture from underneath.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's genius because the number of times I've like had my brushes dry overnight and you pick them up even though they've been on a towel and the bit that's been on the towel is still damp.
Yeah. That's cool. And so it's separate. Even though it comes with the set, she's selling it separate to everything else. Is that the deal?
This one has little loops on it that the other one doesn't have. Oh. So the other one is kind of like you might use it under your brushes when you're doing makeup, but this is specifically for makeup drying, which I just think it's like a clever little idea that must be... like bringing in money for like 40 cents per product.
So Harry Styles launched his makeup brand last week. We knew it was coming, like a beauty brand. We knew that was in the works, but I don't think anyone expected it to drop when it did and to launch with products available to purchase, which tell me the last time that happened. So he launched with a Perfect Pearl collection, which was in very limited supply, and it included a nail polish, a pleasing pen, and a highlighter. And the pleasing pen is a It's two potent serums with steel rollers to refresh the lips and eyes.
Okay. Weird.
There actually is still stock available on the pre-orders as we speak, which is also very interesting. They're either very hard, like healthily stocked up for the pre-orders, or it will never run out. It's like pre-order forever, and they'll just like scramble to find the stock. Not entirely sure. Anyway, very interesting. The whole range, which is not surprising, is non-binary, non-gender.
Mm-hmm.
It is beauty for everyone. And yes, as I mentioned, it's like kind of the very unisex products, you would say, of like the beauty categories, the nail polishes, the and like the skin products, like the highlighter and the face and lip oil.
Yeah.
I don't really have much else to say about it. People think the nail polishes look like butt plugs. Have you seen them?
Oh, no, they're cute.
They're apparently collectible as well. So I think that means, I guess, that that's a nice way of saying we made really nice packaging and it's not reusable, but you can keep it as a trinket.
Yeah, probably. I think they look like chess pawns.
They do look a bit like chess pieces. Yeah. Yeah. So yes. Oh, and oh, cute. Perfect polish sets comes with little nail stickers as well.
I'm so into nail stickers. Maybe I want to buy some. Maybe I should put like tacky things on my fingernails for my hands. I'll think of something. Give me time. I'll be like, Brenton, can you just press this on my left hand for me? Like, what is it? Balls. Dick and balls. I can fit dick and balls.
With an N?
Yeah.
I love it.
Brenton, put the apostrophe before and after the N. Anyway. Oh, biggest event of the year.
Oh, dear. Lisa has been frothing to chew my ear off about Paris Hilton's wedding and all your ears.
Paris Hilton got married this year. I've noticed I love Paris Hilton.
We've all noticed you love Paris Hilton this year.
It just really snuck up on me. There was the documentary, there was Cooking with Paris, the show and the YouTube channel. I love Paris Hilton. She married Carter Room. Most importantly, she had four or five dresses.
Wow.
Couple Oscar de la Renta ones. Things. I loved the short one that she did. Also, her main dress, the first one. Main. I mean, how main can it be if you've got a
five?
Have that many on. Yeah. Was sort of like a turtleneck sheer lace with all of this like rose petal detailing. And it was so stunning. It was very classic. Gorgeous. I think she has stayed basically looking identical from like the Simple Life days and in a way that I love. Like she's got to have had work done, but she doesn't look like she's had work done, but she also is frozen in time.
Yeah, but that's because she was frozen in time during the Simple Life as well. Like,
do you think?
Yeah, she'd pre-frozen herself. Yeah.
Okay, well, note to self.
Yeah.
Anyway, Stephen DeBimba did the makeup. She wore Anastasia Luminous Foundation for a velvet skin finish, like a rose petal, like her dress.
And oh, stop. Who said this? The makeup artist or she did? Or
the makeup artist on Paris Hilton's blog, which I read start to finish.
Good. Yep.
And the Makeup Forever HD Concealer. She also used the Hourglass Airbrush Concealer, which I forgot. I used to love that when I was in store. It was like one of those things I would never sell to anyone, but I would always pop in the kit when doing someone's makeup because you just like pop it through like the center and the under eye and it just gave like if dim light was a liquid, just that really soft. So that's exactly what Paris had. Stunning. God, maybe I want to buy one of those. Anyway, she wore Dior Rosy Glow Blush.
Yep.
Makeup by Mario Bronzer and the Charlotte Tilbury Pressed Powder, of course.
Of course.
He used the Matte Mario palette that I bought a couple of months ago.
Have you tried that and used it?
Yeah, I used it like twice and never used it again.
Good.
Not that it's a bad palette. I just haven't really worn a lot of eyeshadow. I'll probably put it in my kit. And a liquid liner. Interestingly, she wore Ardell Wispy Lashes. Not Demi Wispy's Wispies. They are long and they do look long on her because she's kind of deep set. And her lashes are basically touching her brows, which on her looks cool.
Yeah.
And is kind of her style. On me, looks idiotic. And for her lips, she wore MAC Viva Glam lipstick. Can't remember the number. Over Spice Lip Pencil from MAC. Top with a Givenchy gloss. Eduardo Ponce did her hair. My only note is that her hairline looked a bit weird in photos. Like they'd filled in her hairline.
Oh.
It was like it wasn't done with powder. It was like when people use the sprays and it was just like a bit harsh and stiff.
Well, like, they probably did her hair and then did her like foundation up to her hairline and like cut the hairline with the foundation. Yeah,
it was just a bit.
I do find that hairline powdering situation can look very bold. Like sometimes you need that. Your hair wispily appears.
I agree, but then it can also look very bald.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
It's a fine line between bold and bald. And if you're my sister, you literally can't say the difference. So, yeah, I think that perhaps she should have had a softer shading in of the hairline is okay. My one qualm on her hair. It looked a little stiff.
Mm-hmm.
That is the end of this episode on Paris Hilton's wedding.
Okay, next up in Biddy News, Sam Ravendahl has announced the Auric holiday products.
Mm-hmm.
Two new Smoke Reflex, which are the cream and powder eyeshadow duos. Mm-hmm. One is in an olive green color and one is in like a cranberry shade.
Mm. But I also saw a white, like a white champagne-y topper. Is that a permanent line and not in the set?
No, the white champagne-y topper is on the green. So it looks white, but it's actually a gold, a very soft, like gold translucent reflect.
Oh, that's interesting. That's sort of new because all of the other ones, the topper really does match the bottom.
Yeah. Mm. Well, she said in the video that she wanted it to be a very particular shade of green. She didn't want it to be like green and she didn't want it to be like...
Yeah. Not green.
Not wearable green as well. And yes, so she picked this and that's why she paired it with the golden topper because she wanted it to be a little bit more wearable, Christmassy, these things. The packaging is beautiful.
Hell yeah.
A pearly, mother of pearl looking box. Mm-hmm. And they come in a duo, so you can buy the two together in the set or you can buy them individually.
Which she mentioned people were talking about wanting value sets and she listens.
We love a queen who listens.
Mm-hmm. And in influencer news to finish that off, Fleur de Force, who apparently Alex has no idea about, even though she's an absolute legend in the YouTube world. She was around with Tanya Burr, with Zoella, all of those, and she's still around.
Mm-hmm.
She was quite beauty lifestyle. Now she's probably more lifestyle, posh British English woman. She has launched a jewelry brand and it is called Raven James. I don't like the name particularly. It's not that exciting that she launched a jewelry brand considering that Alex doesn't know who she is. But for some of you that would hear Fleur de Force and go, oh my God, yeah, interesting. I just thought it was interesting to discuss the fact that we have seen Amelia Liana launch jewelry. We have seen Jaclyn Hill launch jewelry.
Yep.
We have seen Daisy collabs with Estée Lalonde doing jewelry. We now see Fleur de Force doing jewelry.
Yeah.
We also see a very, very large proportion, particularly of UK influencers doing either lines with, or not those kinds, lines with or sponsored ads with Missoma or Mejuri.
Yep.
It's like how we talk about how sexual pleasure and that type of stuff is coming into the beauty space. Beauty and jewelry is like...
synonymous.
Synonymous, exactly right. So, where is our jewelry sponsorship? Because...
they're synonymous, I know.
And we're good at jewelry.
It is interesting, isn't it? Because the jewels kind of are an addition to the beauty look. Like when you're on a YouTube video, your shoulders up, which is an opportunity to see hands, neck, ears.
You're right. It is like, you know, when you think of like typical editorial shoots or whatever, you think of like fashion model, long, tall, whatever. And then you think like a beauty model and like head to neck shot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have your two separate models. It's almost like you have your fashion influencers who perhaps aren't the great target for jewelry, even there's though they're putting much outfits together because it's like, you know, if they're doing proper outfit posts, you don't see it all, even though you like, you definitely but do also see.
It's competing with all of the other things in the outfit. Yes,
in the same sort of category. Whereas in beauty, it's like the type of images where you can really easily see it, but also you're not competing against 100 other brands.
Yeah.
Of the same type of thing.
Yeah. It's very
interesting. So, Missoma, Mejuri, Sarah and Sebastian, Bye Baby, Natalie Marie, Louise Jean, any of the other brands that we have thrown our money at, if you would like to come holler,
we're ready for you.
We're so ready.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Dang. These products are so good. What's the deal?
What is your beauty fave this week?
My beauty fave this week is a combination.
Okay.
I forgot that I had this.
It's a half and half pizza.
No, okay. It's a two-course meal.
Okay.
It is the Rimmel Wonder Cloud all over the lid and then the Vive shadow sticks over the top.
Oh, nice.
It's the closest thing I found to eyeshadow that wears all day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's beating that combo. Beats any other eye primer that I've tried. It is better than the Vive sticks on their own. It is better than the Wonder Cloud on its own because it gives... So I find the Wonder Cloud gives great longevity and sort of stops creasing, but it does fade a little bit and it's quite translucent on the lid, whereas the Vive is very opaque on the lid. So that gives you that sort of like even base, a bit more extra coverage. So when it fades, you don't notice as much. And they're both pretty good at not creasing. And then with a bit of powder over the top, they're really quite good. Like, it is lasting me, like, a full day.
That's very impressive.
That's going to have to be what my wedding combo is because I still haven't found anything yet for, like, to replace the NARS Pro Prime.
Shock horror. My NARS Pro Prime has gotten to a point, my old one, where it's dry enough and, like, thick enough that I put it on the back of my hand the other day because I couldn't find my Wonder Cloud. And I was like, oh my goodness, I think it's dried down to the old formula. Like it's reached that perfect timing.
Wow.
It hadn't.
It was worse than ever.
It stuck like cement on the back of my hand in the way that I wanted it to. Yeah, but it didn't work on my eyes.
The NARS Pro Prime, it's interesting because everyone's like, don't you have an old one lying around? And I do have a couple of the original formula lying around. But when you get to a point with the NARS Pro Prime, it does go off and you don't know until you look and it makes your eyeshadow crease after like 3 seconds. Mm. It's really interesting. It does the exact reverse. It does what every eye primer does on me now. And so they would definitely be at that stage. It would be doing more harm than good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not worth it. And what's... Oh, that's your pizza.
Yeah, it's
pizza.
The combo. It's the combo. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. First course followed by second course. What's yours?
My beauty fave this week is... also a combo wombo. Interesting. Ooh. Except mine's a aperitif and a dessert.
Okay.
I don't think they go together, but anyway.
Is it like a powder and a setting spray?
Similar. It's Fancy Face Cleanser.
Yeah.
I stole it. It was in Mornington because I think I bought it for my sister for Christmas last year. She obviously didn't love it enough to take it home with her. So it was living at Mornington. So took it home and... I love it. Mm. I've never been a good oil cleanse.
No.
Cleanse.
That was your only, like, qualm about Fancy Face. You were like, yeah, I really like this, but I don't use an oil cleanser.
Yeah, and now that I have a way to apply a cleanser that's not in the shower in a location that is suitable for me to use it in front of a mirror because I have a new bathroom, the flow is better.
Wait, what did you not used to have a mirror in front of your sink?
I didn't have anywhere to store it. So it would either go in a drawer and it didn't fit in the cupboard below the sink. And no one's doing a squat to get their oil cleanser.
Absolutely not.
Mm-mm, not happening. So I never used it. Now I love it. I also want to give a shout out to the fact that I've never been, this is a bit gross, but I'm one of those people who was never really a morning face washer. Wake up in the morning, didn't really feel the need unless I felt like I'd slept in a puddle of drool, and in which case I would give a quick wipe.
Yeah, story of my life.
Yeah. So when I was in Mornington, I was washing my face every single morning. I don't know why. I felt like it and it happened and it became a habit when I was living there. Came back to Croydon and my face broke out within a couple of days. And I thought, oh, it's just the stress of moving back in. There's a lot of dust in the air at the house. And then it went on for a little bit long and I thought maybe my skin just really likes Mornington water and really doesn't like Croydon water. It was a thought that I had.
Or maybe you're just a dirty bitch and you need to wash your face.
Yeah. And so I started picking up the face washer again to wash my, just not even wash, just like warm water compress on my face, give it a wipe in the morning. And my skin has started to clear up again.
Might even just be the flannel.
I think it is. It's the light exfoliation of the flannel. And also I think just something about the warm water kind of just like giving things a bit of a
boost.
A boost, a bit of like an oil decongestant.
It's fortifying.
Yeah. Wow. I am now a convert to a morning face wet.
And so your flannel cleansing in the morning. God, you're going to have so much laundry.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, how many days is too many days?
Oh, I clean one every single time.
I don't have that many flannels.
You have to buy more.
Okay.
That's the thing. It feels yuck picking up a flannel that is like wet in spots and dry in spots and then like re-wetting it. I can't. I truly can't.
Oh, it's a textural thing. Okay.
I don't mind it. No, it's a filthy thing.
Okay. But like 2 days?
No, I can't.
One wet to dry.
Because things, you know what things smell like when they go wet to dry? I know you're using your towel on your face for like, you know, I only change my towels once a week. Is that like the normal? You know how sometimes you think about things and you're like,
uh-oh.
Am I doing this enough?
Do
I change my sheets enough? What is everyone doing? Yeah, anyway. I do a clean face washer every time.
Okay. Well, maybe I need to up my face washer game now that I'm a committed face washer. And
yeah, do it.
Cool. What's your non-beauty fave this week?
My non-beauty fave is the $2 squirty bottle that we put our olive oil in.
I can understand why, because every time someone comes to your house and looks at your kitchen whilst you're in there cooking, goes, ooh, fancy squeezy bottle.
It happened, both you and Alison said it when I was cooking. Now, specifically, I previously bought a squeezy bottle, but it was more the kind of type that you would use to like squeeze out pancakes. It was a bit stiff, the plastic. It wasn't squidgy.
Yeah.
It was squeezy, but with effort. This one has a softer, thinner plastic.
The oil basically falls out.
Oh, it squirts like a jet. It's fantastic. And I live life with no regrets now.
That's a good non-beauty fave.
Yeah. And then it also means that you can buy the bulk oil from Coles. And then you never run out of oil. The best. What's yours?
Think of all of the life possibilities now. My non-beauty fave this week is the Dirt brand stain removal spray.
Okay.
So when I moved back into the house, wanted to buy some fancy laundry detergents and things that look cute. Bought the brand Dirt because it's eco-friendly, like natural washes that are safe for the environment and to go into the waterways. And they're in nice glass bottles with refill things. Anyway, the stain remover had very good reviews and I thought, okay, interesting, a stain remover, great, I'll buy it. So I bought it, and after I got back from Mornington, I had a white shirt. It was my white basic linen, like cotton, whatever it is, tea. So like a $95 t-shirt probably.
Oh, on sale. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I bought it on sale, so that's okay. And I must have worn it when I'd faked tanned.
Oh, no.
And when I took it off, I thought, oh, it's fine. I got away with that. But after it sat in a luggage bag for two, like a dirty washing luggage bag for 2 days, the fake tan developed on the shirt. And when I pulled it out, I shit you not, the shirt was yellow. I was like, fuck.
Oh, no.
I've really cooked the basic here. Sprayed the whole thing with the dirt stain remover, put it in the wash, pulled it out. You would never know. Oh. Every bit of fake tan came out of it. I don't know how it was humanly possible. It baked in a hot car in a dirty laundry bag for 2 days.
That's the best. I love a crisp white.
I aspire to have very good washing, both washing hygiene and washing practice. At this stage, I'm not there in my life.
Okay. But in both elements?
Is
washing practice like how whites your whites are, how bright your brights are, and then the hygiene in terms of like I do a whites load once a week, I do a this load and a delicate load.
Yeah, and like I know that on the alternate week I'm washing my Duna cover and my fitted sheet with my other sheets and my pillowcases every week on rotation. You know, like these are the things that I aspired to just have built into my life rhythms.
Interesting. We have one good thing, and that's our sheet washing schedule. Like wake up on a Saturday morning and we know that's a thing.
Oh, that's such a sad way to get out of bed in the morning on a Saturday.
Do you think?
Yeah, I would probably usually do them on a Saturday as well, or a Sunday morning at a push.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like Sunday night realizing that there's not, it's probably even worse on a Saturday night coming home and realizing that the sheets are on the line or they're in the dryer or they're wet.
That is the worst. You know what I really am loving about working from home? That you can do a midweek towel wash whilst you're working at home.
Oh. Also, I saw a meme that was like, nothing tells you that you're getting old than having the joy when you realize that the load of washing's finished and it's just 12 towels and not 85 bits of clothing to fold. And I'm like, truth. And you know what Brenton always does the folding of? Fucking towels. And I'm like, well, yay, thank you, awesome, I don't have to do that. And then I'm like, but I get the next load. that little asshole.
Yes. Yep.
He had six tea towels and a couple of socks.
Just took it to my veins!
Nice.
What is your snack of the week?
My snack of the week this week is just plain old corn chips.
Oh, yeah. Like a health food shop corn chip?
Yeah. Anything that's in a large bag with a round, salty corn chip is my preference. Something joyful about stretching your mouth as wide as it can go to fit the whole tip in at once.
There is something about why, like, the roundness is so good. Know. Why do they make bloody corn chips in triangles? That's a cut roof of your mouth waiting to happen.
Yeah, I like the strip ones from Mission as well. I'll happily go like the rectangle shaped one, but the round is my preference. Also, you get Wish chip corn chips, which is a joy.
Also, they're a better scooper because they have the spoon shape.
And the 2 kilo size bag, or however large it is that you get, the giant ones, I don't feel guilt having it sit in the cupboard for a week because, like, they're always crunchy. You can always go back to them. They're a great, like, handful snack. So I don't binge them like I do a smaller large bag of salt and vinegar chips, which I'll eat in one sitting.
Yeah.
And I also find that I can do a one for you, one for me situation with toast with the corn chips because there's many of them. I'm not worried about them running out.
They're a glorified dog snack. Exactly right.
Adrian.
Same with popcorn.
I wasn't going to mention it, but seeing as you said it's a glorified dog snack, we fed toast dinner last night and there were like the whole bag of crumbs at the bottom of the corn, and he just tipped them on the bowl. So she had kibble and corn chips for dinner last night.
Yes, she had a crunchy topper. Crunch, crunch.
Crunch, crunch.
The best.
Yeah. What's your snack this week?
My snack this week is Kez, our mate Kez, that does the gluten-free biscuits.
Oh, we know Kez.
Yes. The Choc Golden Snaps. They are essentially a small Anzac biscuit dipped in chocolate. Again, that doesn't count as a chocolate item. It's just an Anzac biscuit dipped in chocolate. It has the vibe almost of a Kingston, except it's got a dipped chocolate rather than like a soft chocolate with a biscuit on the bottom.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable. My thoughts behind them are, one is good, two is good, three is good. They aren't good enough to eat the whole packet, which is what makes them perfect. Probably exactly the same as plain corn chips.
That's interesting.
I did finish them in 3 days.
So not so Moorish that you want to keep eating them forever.
Yeah, I think because they have that sort of Anzac-y vibe, once you get to about three, there's a slight, like, bitterness, like molasses-y bitterness that, like, you're totally content. You don't want to go back for more.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, interesting snacks that are our favourites this week. They're like...
things we like but don't love so much that we binge eat.
This is our summer moderation chat. Not that we need to.
No.
Oh, my non-beauty fave this week was also going to be the fact that I'm going to 7 a.m. gym classes. I'm just going to throw one in at the end.
Oh, let's discuss because I've also been there for that.
Lisa and I went to the gym together twice this week.
Mm-hmm.
By the gym, we mean we went to like an F45 type thing, which is called FS8. And I know that no one can hear that. F for Fred, S for Sarah, 8 for the number 8.
Yes.
I said it over the phone to my sister 4 times and she was like, you need to text me the letters that you're saying.
It's weird because I came home from the first one and I was like, not really for me. It's not very personal, blah, 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 blah. The second one...
there were 28 people in our first class. That was
full AF and so many rows and so little sanitation. Anyway, the second one I did enjoy more. I still love my KX, but I was hurting in ways that I haven't hurt before. And Brenton was like, yeah, because you're working different muscles. I was like, that's horse shit. It was Pilates. I've done all that stuff before.
Yeah.
And also when I was doing them, I was like, 60 seconds isn't that long. I can maintain it. But I wonder if it's because I did the full 60 seconds, whereas say at KX, it might be like 3 minutes and then we pulse. And by that time I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a little break. Whereas 60 seconds is my perfect, like in my head, you can do anything for 60 seconds.
Yeah.
So I kind of never really stopped holding it. And I think that that is what
pushed you.
Ripped my inner thighs to the point that I was sort of crab walking for 2 days.
I said to Adrian that my thoughts around it were that it was the repetition that I felt got me. So it's like in regular Pilates, you do a chain of movements, but rarely will you push that chain so hard that it exhausts you the first time around. Like, whereas I felt doing the reformer stuff at this thing, if you're into reformer Pilates, that by the end of the first set, my body was already fatigued.
And then you had to go
back. We did a few other things. I had to do it again. And by the second time around at the end of it, I was like, truly, I'm done.
I think you're right there, because I also found, like, when I was doing lockdown workouts, the things that made me the sorest were anything like that, like the Sarah's Day workouts, where it's always like, do this for this many reps and then you do it three times.
Yeah.
And I did, my Abby, Brenton's sister, sees a PT, Abby J, and she's great, and she has some workouts that I would do with Abby and Nick. And the next day I would feel like I had been ripped apart. And I do think you're right. It's the whole set situation, yeah, which is like never a way that I've worked out. That's me very either. Like a PT gym way of working out. And I same. Normally do like, let's do the left side of the body. Now let's do the right side of the body.
Yes, I'm the same. I also felt that we haven't really spoken about it, so now I'm just going to use this as an opportunity to talk to you about the gym. I did also feel that it probably wasn't very safe for people who haven't done reformer Pilates in the past and also don't know how to adjust their posture and correct their technique. There's too many people in the class. Also, the spring choices were very strong.
They were so strong.
There was no, like, body preparation for it. Like, you go straight, there's no warm-up. You go straight into, like, I mean, pretty there, high intensity. Like
there was a warm-up, but it was
a stretch.
It was a stretch. At that's, best. No, I totally agree. My most hated thing in KX Pilates is the warm-up. The warm-up. But it also, it's the thing that hurts the most, but also I feel like it gets me ready. I think my inner thighs went from 6 degrees to being ripped on a heavy spring on a reformer with a band around my thighs.
Yeah.
And they were just like, ding, 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 snapping little threads the whole way.
Yeah, for sure.
Goodness. I literally looked down the next day expecting to see like a big bulky inner thigh muscle showing, because I was like, something's got to have happened because I can't get out of the bed and I certainly cannot go to the toilet.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to keep going. I'm actually enjoying the 7 a.m. time slot.
Yeah, I'm tempted to maybe buy, I don't know, it's sort of a bit weird with the classes, but I might like come, you know, once a week with you maybe.
Please keep coming, because we'll it's fun going together.
Yeah, it is fun.
Also, there's no mirrors, which is good in a way because it's 7 a.m. and you don't care to look at yourself, but it's bad in a way because you can't check your form.
Yeah.
Which I don't love.
Do you know what my favorite part is? And we can wrap after this.
Yeah.
But you know when you're doing like a, you're on the reformer and you're standing sideways and they say, you know, check your posture and you're doing splits on the reformer and you have to like tuck your bum in and you can sort of see like this weird granny butt because you flatten your butt and your cellulite starts to ripple through your leggings and you're like, oh yeah, I'm doing it right.
Yeah. This is perfect. Yeah. But it's true.
I've never been flatter.
I look at, like, not intentionally look, but like your eye gaze is like at other people in the class and you're like, you are not in the right shape because your butt you have a bum. Great.
Yeah. Doing it wrong. Yes.
Okay, that's the end of this week's episode. Please join us on Wednesday and we're going to be chatting about the very new go-to shower party shower gel.
Can't wait. See you then.
Chat to you then. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.